You know, I'm just excited. Kids, are you ready for Christmas in a couple of weeks? Who's excited about Christmas coming in a couple of weeks? All right. I love it. So am I. We get to celebrate Jesus' birthday, and that is such a special time. Well, I want to spend just a moment with you, if I can, reflecting a little bit on God's Word. I'm going to use the verse it just seems so appropriate in this time of Advent, especially as we're talking about Christmas. Words that I'm sure most every one of us here, I believe, would know from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And you know what? We have opportunity to reflect on that. And let me just pray for us as we take a moment to reflect on that. Lord, just bless us here today. We thank you for our kids who led us today and just this opportunity for worship. Now, Lord, I pray that as we ponder on your gift, the gift of Jesus in our life, just allow that to be such a special and a joy-filled thing for us. Guide us in this time, we pray, in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, you know, we're looking at a sermon series taking us through December, Christmas Wonder Through the Eyes of a Child. And we don't have to look far to see how our kids are getting really excited for Christmas, bouncing off the walls and everything. But for those of us who have kind of gone up the age scale just a little bit, I want to invite you to just maybe think for a moment about what it was like for you as a child growing up. What was it that brought such wonder and joy to you during this season of Christmas? Now, whenever I think about Christmas growing up, when I get nostalgic, there's a lot of images that pop into my head. One of them is my home church where my dad was a pastor coming in, and the sanctuary was always beautifully decorated, just as ours is here today. It was always such a joy. And then we'd see the Advent wreath was a part of that, and each week another candle was lit. And I don't know if it was the same for you or not, but it always felt like it went so slow every week. But every time another candle was lit, that meant we were another week closer to Christmas. But you know, one of the things that I think about when I think about Christmas growing up that was special for me and my brothers and our family is I remember watching Christmas TV specials. Anybody? I mean, just that was always so much fun. Now, kids that are with us here today, kids, let me tell you, long before Elf or long before the Santa Claus or Shrek the Halls or Barry Manilow's A Berry Berry Christmas. That is a thing, unfortunately. But long before those things, me and my brothers would pile into the living room and we would watch Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, A Charlie Brown Christmas. And I tell you what, if we could convince Mom and Dad to let us eat TV dinners in the living room while we watched, that was a bonus, right? But you know, there was one TV special that was always my favorite. I look forward to it every year, never miss it, and maybe it's a favorite of yours too. Now, let me see if I can do justice to this. Let me clear my throat here, and you may see this coming, but if you know it, kind of guessing you do, feel free to join me. "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus and charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel." It's my audition. Anyway, no. I would fit in with the preschoolers. I think that would be it. But you know what? Hands down, I don't know for you, but that was the best Christmas show. That was Dr. Seuss, and I know there's been a lot of variations of it, and not all of them have met my high standards. I like Jim Carrey as an actor, but not as a Grinch. But here's the thing. I loved it as a kid because the story was so fascinating. And as an adult, I still find the story fascinating, but there's more to it because I believe the poem by Dr. Seuss really teaches us something about Christmas wonder. Now, I know we all know the story, so can we have fun with it just a little bit today, the Grinch story? The story starts with the Grinch hating all the Whos of Whoville. Dr. Seuss's original poem says this as it starts. "Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch who lived just north of Whoville did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now please don't ask why, no one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be perhaps his shoes were too tight. But I think the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. You know, when you watch the story, the Grinch hated Christmas. He hated whose, and so he devised this evil plan, right? He believed that he knew the source of Christmas joy, and his plan, if it would work, there would be no more joy. There would only be crying and tears, and so he makes this Santa disguise, and he sets out to rob the whos and to rob them of joy so there would be no more cheer. It says, then he slithered and slunk with a smile most unpleasant around the whole room, and he took every present, pop guns and bicycles, roller skates, drums, checkerboards, tricycles, popcorn and plums, and he stuffed them in bags. Then the Grinch very nimbly stuffed all the bags one by one up the chimney. Then he slunk to the icebox. He took the Who's feast. He took the Who pudding. He took the roast beast. He cleaned out that icebox as quick as a flash. Why, that Grinch even took their last can of Who hash. Then he stuffed all the food up the chimney with glee. And now, grinned the Grinch, I will stuff up the tree. Well, we know right then at the story, Cindy Lou, she crashes the party. It's this turning point in the poem, and it puts the Grinch on a collision course with joy and with wonder. Now, I want to pause just a minute from the story. I want to ask you a question to ponder. It's not a very fun question, but it's a question I'd like you to ask in light. I'd like you to answer in light of the Grinch's story. What would ruin Christmas for you? Or maybe another way to put it, what would rob you of the joy and wonder of this Christmas season? What would you say? What would your kids say? Now, I know there are things that can and sometimes do rob us or ruin the Christmas joy, but here the Grinch thought he knew the source of Christmas joy and for this little town of Whoville, and his heart was so small he could not understand what he was incapable of experiencing. So it was very easy for the Grinch to assume that Christmas was all about presents, all about decorations, all about stuff. And so his plan was if he could get rid of all of those things, he wouldn't have to deal with the annoying noise that would follow the day after. All the joy and the singing would be gone. There would be only tears and no bells ringing. But we know the rest of the story, how it goes, the real lesson that the Grinch learns. But you know the person behind the story, Theodore Seuss Geisel? He was a committed Christian man. And I believe he masterfully captures one of the key elements of what Christmas joy is really about, a lesson that you and I should hold on to today also, because here's why. There is a Grinch in this world. A Grinch that is named in the Bible goes by a different name, and he is still trying to steal our Christmas wonder and our Christmas joy. But see, the thing for us, the Grinch of the Bible is different and smarter than the one in Dr. Seuss's story. He's given up trying to steal our stuff. No, he's changed his tactics. Instead of slithering down the chimney and taking all of our presents, toys, and trees, and even our last cans of Who hash, instead this Grinch wants to tempt people everywhere that Christmas is about getting everything your heart desires. In that way, he has one of two choices. He can either ruin Christmas, the excitement of Christmas, if you don't get everything your heart desires. Or he can steal the real Christmas joy if you do get everything your hearts desire. Again, he still wants us to believe that Christmas is all about the stuff, but he's not after your stuff. He's after your hearts. So how do we avoid? How do we avoid the schemes of the evil Grinch, often known as the devil in the Bible? Well, it's simple. We keep Jesus at the center. the center of not just Christmas, but our lives each and every day. That means, yes, we still give Christmas gifts, so collective sigh by all the kids. But we use those gifts to remind ourselves, to teach our kids and our grandkids and our friends and family that the real reason that we give gifts at Christmas and how those gifts, that joy from those gifts, point us again to the greatest gift we have ever received. So why do we give gifts at Christmas? Well, for that answer, we have to go back to the story. Not Dr. Seuss's story, but the story, the real story, God's story. Now, one reason that people say we give gifts goes back to the wise men, to the Magi, right? In fact, it's recorded for us in Matthew. It says, "In going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures. They offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." The Magi, the wise men, had traveled a great distance over a couple of years. They finally arrive in Bethlehem. Little side note, they didn't arrive at the manger with Jesus in the manger. He was probably at least 2 years old. They were living in a house, but they brought to him very expensive but not uncommon gifts for a king. So some would say we give gifts because of the wise men, and that would be partially true. But the most important reason that you and I give gifts at Christmas is because we're celebrating the greatest gift we have ever received in Jesus. That is the reason the wise men brought gifts. See, you have to understand something. The first experience of Christmas wonder and joy was not experienced by anybody on earth. The first experience of Christmas wonder and joy was from the Father in heaven, whose heart was so overflowing with love that he gave his most precious, priceless, and perfect gift. Again, that verse that we know so well, "For God so loved that he gave his son." So that when you and I believe in Jesus, we won't perish but have eternal life. Giving is at the very heart of God. So much so that he didn't spare his son who was born in Bethlehem, that through his life and through his death and through his resurrection, we have the forgiveness of our sins and we experience God's love today and every day. And if giving is at the very center of God's heart, and you and I are created in God's image, that means that giving is at the center of our hearts too. And that's why it brings us joy when we give. You see, we are able to give, and it reminds us, it reminds the people we love that we have been given the greatest gift ever. So what does that mean for us? It means that when you build that pile under your tree, the gifts that are lined up under the tree or the gifts that are in the stockings, then we get excited and our kids get excited and they rip open those beautifully wrapped packages and all that excitement, that those gifts, every gift, is intended to point us back to the manger. Because there we see the gift that has been given to us from our Father in heaven. So as we raise up our kids or our grandkids, as we influence our family and friends with the joy and the wonder of Christmas, then we can be just like the Whos of Whoville. That even if all the stuff should be gone tomorrow, Christmas will still come. And it'll still be the joy of joys. In fact, Dr. Seuss says, "Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch with his Grinch feet, ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more." And what happened then? Well, in Whoville they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. I wonder when Dr. Seuss, as I wrap this up, I wonder if Dr. Seuss in that moment in his poem was thinking of some beautiful words that are recorded from the prophet Ezekiel. I love these words because Dr. Seuss knew, as a Christian man, what we know. We need a new heart and we receive it in Jesus. In fact, these words, and this is what I'll wrap up with. It says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You see, these words were fulfilled for you and I in our baptism. Because there God gave you a new heart. A new heart that has grown to the size of God's love in Christ Jesus, the greatest gift you will ever receive. And so I pray that this Christmas is filled with Christmas wonder and joy as we look to the manger and as we give gifts out of that amazing love that point people back to the love of God. May God grant that to us all in Christ Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen.